Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? We are less than 24 hours. You think noon tomorrow, Producer Phil, is when the swearing-in actually happens, right around there?
Yeah, right around noon, yeah.
All right, that's Eastern time, 9 Pacific, so we don't have long. President Obama, this is his final night. They're all showing up at some big event. I do believe earlier I saw Bernie Sanders wander in there. You know what? There you go. Bernie's showing up. He may hate the president-elect, and I think hate's a strong word. I don't think he hates the president-elect. He may not like his ideas, but, you know, it is what it is, and this is the president, and this is who the people chose, and here we go. Are you ready for this ride? I'm asking you guys this. On National Popcorn Day, are you ready for this ride we're about to go on? The Trump train is gassed up, right? Or whatever it is. What are we? It's electricity. Phil, what's train? You're the train nerd. What does trains run? What do they run on now?
Well, Northeast Corridor, it's electric. For the rest of the country, it's diesel electric.
All right, there we go. So we are diesel electric, gasoline, high-powered fuel, whatever the hell, coal. We're stoking the fire. Are you ready for it? I mean, this is it, kids. I mean, it's no longer a absurd joke that many people thought long, long ago. It is now reality. Donald J. Trump will be sworn in tomorrow as the 45th president of these here United States of America. Now, Producer Phil, you do know the code words, so of who he is going to be. Is he mogul?
He is mogul.
His wife is Muse.
That's correct.
And then the Hoosier will be Pence, and then it's Hummingbird for his wife.
That is correct, sir.
How many? I wonder how many Secret Service people she gets. This is Steve. Look, Steve, why does it say security guard on his look? If I'm going to be honest with you, if something bad happens, there's a chance Steve may not save you. Steve's going to follow you everywhere you go in a Segway. Chad. That's our vice president you're talking about. And his wife, Karen. I didn't know her name was Karen. I know something now that I didn't know. Very excited about Karen. Can't wait to meet her. Hoosier Daddy. So, are you ready? A lot of people texting in, saying yes, no, maybe. People are nervous. Seeing a lot of polls out there. The truth is, take a deep breath and enjoy it. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I will tell you this now. We are built to withstand a bad president, and I don't think he's going to be a horrible president. He could prove me wrong. He could. I didn't think he was going to win, but he did. He can prove me wrong. He could be a horrible president. We could look back and go, we are never doing that again. Or he may be exactly what the doctor'd order at this time. In our country's history, he may be the right guy for the job. We're going to find out, though. We are going to find out. People can bitch and moan. People can go out there and scream and yell. He's got a text saying, stop making fun of Hoosiers. I'm not. That's his nickname. That's what they're calling him. The Hoosiers on the move. The Hoosiers on the move. That doesn't sound as cool. I like the moguls on the move. The mogul and the muse. She's moving. We're watching. Just letting everybody know she's moving. But this is happening. And we should be excited about it. Let's embrace the opportunity. Let's embrace the newness. Let's embrace the what may come. We knew what was coming with Obama after 4 years. We knew what was coming. Remember, it's that car, right? Like, the presidency in a lot of ways is like that car. You buy a car, you're so excited. It's got that new car smell. It's got the great looking paint. It's got all the gadgets and the hickory doos and the whoopty flops. And I could push this and I could talk to so and so. And oh my God, it's got Bluetooth. It's got everything. And then like 6 years later, like, this car sucks. I want something new. That's where we are now. We got our new car smell. We got our new president smell. and we're going to see what he does. We're taking him out for a spin. And he may be great. And we may look back on him and, like, he's a classic. Or we may look back and go, my God, it was cool for like 2 seconds. Then I realized I'm driving a Pinot. Right? And if you hit me from behind, we could explode. I don't know. What I do know is no matter what happens tomorrow and for the next 4 years, is your life is your life. So crying and going to We Stand United and throwing a massive fit about that and whatever else, just let's all move on. Please act adultish. Tomorrow night's his first night he stays in the house. We were trying to figure out today. It's like, so most everything is probably moved from President Obama's residence and stuff inside the house. So now you've got the new stuff probably moved in. And they say the way that they do this is they move everything in as per requested by the first family. And that includes toiletries and everything else. One thing we're saying is it is going to be a downgrade for the president. But there is a new report out, and this is very interesting. It's by Sharon Reed, and she talks about actually what the actual cost of the White House is comparatively to where he's currently living. Take a listen.
According to a popular online real estate firm, Donald Trump's new home is worth nearly four times more than the penthouse he's leaving behind in Manhattan. Zillow says the White House is worth almost $400 million. The new Trump residence has 132 rooms and 32 bathrooms, as well as its own tennis and basketball courts. In fact, Zillow says if someone were to take out a standard 30-year fixed mortgage, the monthly payment to live in the White House would be a cool $1.6 million. Sharon Reed, NBC News Radio, New York.
That's big, man. $1.6 million just for your monthly payment? That's some coin right there. So if you're making $10 million, if you're making $50 million a year, you can afford that, no problem. That's nuts. There are people out there that could afford that, no problem. Like, I'll write a check. And the reason, look, is it a downgrade as far as probably the lifestyle, location, what he's used to? I'd say yeah, but the historical value, obviously, it's a massive upgrade. And you are the president of the free world, which means you're the most powerful individual on earth. That's kind of cool as well. I'm excited, though. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be covering it from top to bottom. Recapping a lot of what happened tonight. He had the big concert, Toby Keith and Lee Greenwood. I think John Voight spoke. Who did not speak are all the other actors and actresses who are currently apparently in front of Trump International Hotel and Tower in New York City, where they're bitching, whining, and moaning, complaining. And there's a woman on right now. I don't know who she is, but she's everything you think a protester would be and look like. She's got that salt and pepper gray hair. She looks kind of disheveled. She looks like, yeah, if I could draw you up and like, okay, what's the protester look like? It looks like this. That'd be her. Chad, you are being so rude. I am being rude. Deal with it. The Chad Benson Show Facebook at Chad Benson Show Twitter. ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Oh, my God. She's singing and there's a person with a guitar. There is a person with a guitar. She's singing. I'm thinking it's like Kumbaya is what I'm feeling. It's not Fiona Apple and her awesome song. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We'll see if we can find some sweet audio from this little ditty. I'm sure it's delicious. Speaking of Muzak, Paul McCartney wants his back. It's the Chad Benson Show.
From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
This land was made for you and me.
I roamed and rambled.
I am letting you guys hear this. This is the We Stand United thing. I mean, Phil, if you can't see it, you go online and see it. It is everything that you would think something is. Am I correct as far as protest?
Absolutely.
There's a woman singing with a baby on stage. And what I was that Cher? It is. I was watching Facebook last night, and I was like Family Guy last night. Have you ever seen when they make fun of Joe when he goes to see Wheelchair? It is awesome. This land is made for you and me. That was Natalie Merchant.
As I go walking my freedom highway.
Who's that?
Nobody.
Tom Rush.
Oh.
Have you heard Bernie Sanders? We played Bernie Sanders' folk album when he sings this song.
He does. This land was made for you. Oh. This is like, and you know what's funny is I went on there and I was watching it and I'm looking at the comments and I'm like, who is that? It's Natalie Merchant from 10,000 Maniacs. And I know she was very liberal, but she looks disheveled. Chad, you're a horrible person. I am a horrible person and I'm okay with it, actually. I am, you know, here's the thing about it. I am settled in who I am. All right? You know, I'm settled in who I am. I think I'm fair and I think I'm real. And I think I'm very honest, and I think I'm very straightforward, and I try to look at all sides objectively, and I give you my opinion, and I look at stuff like this, and it's funny that they're singing, this land is your land, this land is my land, they're singing Kumbaya, they're holding each other's hands, they're talking about stuff, Mark Ruffalo doesn't know the damn words to the song, well, he's the Hulk, so we gotta listen, and as all of this goes on, they're there to protest our president, who's not even our president, because they despise him. It is a one-way, one-thought ideology that is completely misguided, and I shake my head. I do.
Hold on, Chad. We got to bring this back.
Okay, bring it back.
Went walking that ribbon of highway. I saw above me
Bernie Sanders, people.
That endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. And that on this earth.
That is Bernie Sanders. Let's hear the one that's rocking out right now. Because they are tearing it up. I see
Mark
Ruffalo.
I just closed the window. Hang on.
Oh, my God. He is just, again, my thing is, I am all about this. But why aren't you promoting we can be a stronger America? We can be a better America. We want you to be a successful president. We're going to hold your feet to the fire. There are things we want. And listen to this.
Gulf Stream waters.
This land was made for you and me. Love you, New York.
I love you, New York. That's the Hulk. You guys should listen to what he has to say. He's super wise. Because he blew himself up and tried a bunch of nuclear stuff on himself. That's why he's the Hulk. Yeah. Speaking of music, this is a little bit better than that just absolute giant, huge mess. It was like cats being barbecued. Oh, my God, Chad, you're the worst. Paul McCartney is suing to get his Beatles songs back. The pop music legend filed a lawsuit against Sony ATV Music Publishing on Wednesday in an attempt to regain the rights to a long list of Beatles hits that he either wrote or co-wrote with John Lennon. Songs like Yesterday, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and a slew of other hits are subject to the suit. McCartney's arguing that the 1976 Copyright Act should allow him to start reclaiming ownership of the songs from Sony ATV next year. Sony declined to comment on the matter. Sony and Entertainment Michael Jackson formed Sony ATV in 95. A decade later, the King of Pop paid about $42 million to acquire the catalog from ATV, which included a ton of Beatles songs. Jackson actually outbid McCartney to clinch the deal. Sony took full control of all of the library. So think about this. 1995, he bought those for $41 million. 20 years later, the Jackson estate agreed to sell just a 50% stake. Producer Phil, how much do you think that 50% stake went for?
Good Lord, that's a lot of ramen noodle.
$750 million.
Oh, good Lord, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. That's just 50% of it. So that wasn't even a good stuff. So his lawyers, though, are really worried. And the reason is There was a decision last year in a UK court involving the group Duran Duran. The court found in favor of Sony ATV subsidiary that that sued Duran Duran members for breach of contract when they tried to reclaim their songs. So it's interesting. My thing is this. You obviously sold your rights to the music at some point in time. Yoko sold Lennon's stuff for about $400+ million, by all accounts, from what I'm seeing, her and her son. And so you own them. You sold them, right? I mean, that's what I'm feeling. Did he not sell these? Did they always own them? He's trying to buy them back at one point in time. And so why are you, if I bought something and I own it, why are you trying to sue me to get it back like it's your thing? You don't own it. Try to buy it then. Like if this is what you want, try to buy it back. Obviously, they're not going to be allowed to. I mean, I don't think he has the money. I mean, that's he probably has $1.5 billion and it'd probably take $1.5 billion to get him back. So you own your songs, but you got to eat ramen noodles. Yeah. But my thing is Sony owns them and Michael Jackson's estate owns them fair and square. Why are you suing somebody who owns something fair and square? What is the copyright law here that says, you know, no, they're mine? And does that mean that Yoko can go claim and Julian and who's the other one? Sean. Yeah. Did they get another claim? I don't know. It's weird, though, because you sold those. You don't own them. So deal with it. Hey, kids, this land is your land. This land is my land. My thoughts are this, and they're better than your thoughts. And if you think it's different, and we can be diverse only in the way that we want. That's kind of what they should have said tonight in their protest. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Just a nightmare right there. Hey, guess what? We got a great interview coming up about cybersecurity and the Twitter in chief, Chad Benson Show. I think you'll understand.
The Chad Benson Show.
I want to hold your hand.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
He is going to be not just the commander-in-chief, the tweeter-in-chief. Talking about the president-elect, soon-to-be president of the United States, a man who has used Twitter like nobody in politics ever has. And there are some risks with that. Joining us now is Adam Levin. He's chairman and founder of Cyber Scout. He's author of Amazon bestselling book Swiped. Adam, thanks so much for joining us today. He is like no president we've ever seen and no politician we've ever seen. He uses social media. And I mean, we were worried about Barack Obama when he first came in using his BlackBerry. What kind of risk does this pose to the president and even our classified by him continuing to tweet?
Well, I think it's a very dangerous situation. I mean, it's one thing if you want to tweet out fun things, but when you're tweeting out policy and when you're responding to people, especially when you have an incendiary personality, what if you end up responding to somebody else who has an incendiary personality? And let's say their Twitter account had been hacked or their social networking account had been hacked, and someone is masquerading as them, and they're pushing your buttons. And golly gee, if you're the guy whose finger could be on the button, it's not such a great idea to be using Twitter in an unfiltered kind of way.
You know, one of the things that I think that he uses it for, and I've talked to a lot of people who feel like they like the fact that it feels like it connects them in some way with him. But one of the things I think he uses it for is the distrust in the media, which is so big right now, and rightly so, especially after last week and the whole BuzzFeed thing and CNN, is it's his way of getting out the news that he thinks that the left-leaning mainstream media may not give him credit for or may not cover. I mean, is there something to that?
Well, there's no question that in his mind, it's his bully pulpit. Of course, Teddy Roosevelt had a different concept of a bully pulpit, perhaps, than the president-elect does at the moment. But no, there's no question. If you feel frustrated by traditional forms of communication and you feel like you're being either blocked or misquoted or misrepresented, then at least this is the purest thing. And let's face it, I mean, social networking has been an enormous force for good in the world. It has permitted people who oftentimes would have been silenced to actually communicate with like-minded individuals or with the world so that people could know what's going on. That's fine. But when you're dealing in a situation where it is as sensitive as being president of the United States, and you are using this as a vehicle for policy pronouncements, there should be some kind of filtering mechanism. People maybe you should talk to, the old, you know, pause before you click mentality, before you just let her rip. And a lot of people are concerned that if you let her rip, and what if someone hacked into the person to whom he's ripping? Or what if someone hacks into his Twitter and launches fake news, but because it doesn't sound illogical because it's coming from him, people believe it. You could move markets. You could destabilize situations around the world. That's a problem.
That is a problem. Talking to Adam Levin. He's the chairman and co-founder, founder of Cyber Scout. He's also got a best-selling book on Amazon called Swipe. And Adam, here's the perfect example. You know, you talk about being hacked into. If you're Twitter right now, what precautions? You take extra precautions? Are there, I mean, you know, because, again, this was, I don't think when Twitter, was founded that the thought process would go into that this was going to be such a tool and a vehicle for even the POTUS to be using. And are they taking extra precautions? What's their fear factor for them in some of these things? Because remember, as we have seen, when Trump speaks, things can happen market-wise, and you could see your value of your company tumble overnight.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you're the target of a tweet rant, it could be really dangerous. So, I think Twitter is trying as best they can to be as secure as possible. But, I mean, we've seen CENTCOM, which is the military, being hacked. And, frankly, everywhere you turn, everybody's being hacked. So there's always the danger of that. That's why, obviously, having two-factor authentication, Twitter is very sensitive to when there seems to be a great deal of traffic going on involving Twitter that it doesn't seem right. They will freeze the account until someone can confirm by way of phone number, for instance, that it's the real person who's attempting to use it. But then again, people can steal phone numbers as well. So I think there's an effort afoot now to do it, and I think they are going to be more alert and vigilant now than ever before, since these 140 characters are being used by quite a character in our country. But we still have to be alert, and I still think that the people around him, although I'm not sure who is around him at 3 a.m. in the morning, but the people around him have to be sensitive to this, and everybody's got to take a breath. Even when you read his tweets, before you respond, maybe you need to take a breath too. Because, you know, what if one day it really isn't him, but it's coming through his Twitter feed?
You know, that's one of the things, whether or not it's him. What's the protocol now? I mean, does President Trump, does President Obama have somebody that tweets for him? He'll say, why don't you tweet something out about this? Or does he do the tweets himself? I doubt he does. Is there any protocol right now for this?
I think it's a combination. I mean, I think that the president-elect has people who do some tweeting for him. I think the president, for sure, has people who are doing some tweeting for him. Frankly, most people who have Twitter accounts who are high-profile individuals kind of split the responsibility. They may have their communications director do some tweeting, or at least somebody with a wicked sense of humor, and as well as, you know, when they feel the need to say something, obviously they have access, they're going to say it.
It's, you know, one of the things that I don't think anybody's brought up is, you know, he's going to use this thing to get out a message. He's going to use this thing, I think, as a bully pulpit to attack both sides, especially if they don't think they're doing what he wants to do. Or he may even expose a lot of stuff that we think going on in Washington that may be good for all of us to learn. But I've also thought about this. He's also a guy that's not afraid to attack people and to go after people. And what is the, you know, is could one day he face litigation for slandering somebody? Could one day he be in a situation where, you know, he's out there attacking a company or doing some of these things, and they say to them, you know what, we're going to sue the United States of America because they're purposely hurting our market value and hurting our stock and hurting our company?
Well, there are a lot of issues in terms of sovereign immunity and things like that. But no question, if somebody steps over the line, one could say that they're abusing their authority and they might be a target for some form of litigation. But remember, this is a man who doesn't really care about litigation, never really bothered him. And, you know, there are some who will say, well, it's free speech. But, you know, sometimes free speech can be devastating to an organization economically. So, you know, this is one of those works in progress. We're gonna find out as this unfolds. We certainly know that there are some people that are suing him based on comments he made involving beauty pageants and other things and people participating in them. But again, his attitude is, I am who I am. You want to sue me? Stand in line. So, you know, that's always been his attitude. So I think he welcomes controversy. He feeds on controversy. It's in his DNA.
Yeah.
And
he's a fighter. He likes that. He loves to fight. That's his thing. He's one of those guys where he loves to fight and he's not afraid to. And I'll be honest, very, very rarely does he take the first punch, you know, or throw the first punch. But once you throw that punch at him, he comes after you. And this is his form that he uses right now. Especially now that there's no more debates or anything, he comes at you through the Twitter.
Oh no, Twitter is his samurai sword. He's gonna come after you, and he's gonna cut you up. He basically says, "I'm a counterpuncher," and anyone that doubts that just simply needs to review his Twitter account or many of his public statements. I mean, he is fearless when it comes to this kind of stuff. People have to understand that. But also, someone who wants to create a controversy, were they to get into his account, or again, were they to get into the account of another person. I mean, imagine, for instance, and I don't think that Kim Il-jung particularly has a Twitter account, but imagine if someone were to masquerade as if they were and do something really incendiary, try to do it sometime either around the inauguration or shortly thereafter, and have Trump basically come out guns blazing, and then the leader of North Korea go, well, that's it. I'm pressing the button now. I mean, we're living in a world where there are a lot of crazy people out there, and that's why sometimes you really have to measure what you say, where you say it, and when you say it, because the ramifications could be devastating.
Talking to Adam Levin, he's the chairman and founder of Cyber Scout. He's also the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Swiped. Last question, we'll let you go. We appreciate you coming on today. Is this the new norm, though? Are we, you know, let's look out 4 years, 8 years, 12 years from now. Are politicians seeing what Trump is doing, and are they going to be following suit, saying, you know what, I'm going to use this as a powerful tool, and we should just get ready for it because this is now the new norm, and Twitter-in-chief goes along with Commander-in-chief?
Oh, I think that all forms of social networking represent communication platforms of today and the future, that everyone will use them for whatever they think will be most advantageous for them and for the sort of the release of their information. I mean, it's the new megaphone. And people are definitely going to be using it. And it's just a question of, you know, it's like that wonderful Dos Equis commercials, you know, drink wisely, my friend. Well, in this case, tweet wisely, my friend. And hopefully people will do that because, frankly, you can create an enormous amount of destabilization. You can move markets. You can literally cause riots, depending upon what you say in Twitter and who's saying it. So that's why I think at least people will do it, but I believe that people will be thoughtful about the way they do it. They can't just simply use it as the ultimate real-time, spontaneous, this is what I'm feeling at the moment, and basically verging out all of their feelings without even thinking about it.
His name is Adam Levin. His best-selling book on Amazon is called Swiped. He is the chairman and founder of Cyber Scout. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. You can tweet at the show. at Chad Benson Show. Simple and easy as that. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. We've got our site up, all kinds of good stuff up there. That's ChadBensonShow.com. Yesterday, Hall of Fame voting. Didn't get in. A Bay Area legend, somebody up here in Northern California that a lot of people have a lot of strong feelings about. Will he get in one day? It's the Chad Benson Show.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Jolene. Happy 71st birthday to Dolly Parton. Still looking effervescent and blessed, if you will. She does not look 71, and I know that she's had some work done. We were trying to figure out, that's always the question, are they real or they're not real? You know what? She's 71 years old, and she's still out doing her thing. Should we do a show one day from, is it Dollywood? What is it? How cool would that be, dude? They just finished doing the Christmas Pirate Voyage and Dinner Show. They had the Dolly Parton's Lumberjack Adventure Show and the Dixie Stampede, which I'm trying to figure out what it is. But it says it's the Dixie Stampede, but I do see the birth of Jesus part of it. So I'm not quite sure how that all focuses in on everything. Dollywood would be hilarious, man. That has to be hilarious. Let's do it. What's the theme park about? Do they got rides? Have you been there, Pretty Smith?
I haven't.
Oh, my God, man. This looks like fun. Dollywood in the house. They got all kinds of stuff going on, man. You could do all kinds of stuff. Man, I tell you what, happy 71st birthday, Dolly Parton. Hey, tomorrow's inauguration, and lots of crazy stuff has happened around inauguration. We've got some fun facts here that might make you smile a little bit, and then you will know more than you did when the show started. How about that? When William Henry Harrison said, no, I don't want to wear a coat, and then he proceeded to give the longest inauguration speech ever, 8,500 words, about an hour and 45 minutes. The problem was it was cold, it was wet, it was rainy on that 1841 morning, and he, deciding to go without any of those things, caught a bit of a chill, a cold. He didn't feel very well. That eventually turned into pneumonia, which eventually turned into him no longer being president because he was dead a month later. Chad. Abraham Lincoln's soon-to-be assassin actually took part in the festivities. It was Lincoln's second inauguration in 1865, the first time African-Americans participated in the inauguration parade. Concerns about the safety for Lincoln lingered. His inauguration 4 years early was the first to incorporate major security measures. But there was a guest in the crowd in 1865 who would become the biggest threat of all. John Wilkes Booth, who would shoot Lincoln a month later, can be seen in photos near the president as he delivers the speech. Teddy Roosevelt, speaking of Lincoln, had a very interesting piece of jewelry he wore for his second inauguration in 1905. He wore a ring. Not a big deal. Men can wear a ring. But inside of the ring contained Abraham Lincoln's hair, a locket. What? That's right. He was inspired by Lincoln, he said. His administration started early. There was an image of Roosevelt. If you look, as a boy, he's looking out of the second-story window onto Lincoln's funeral procession. Roosevelt called himself an heir to Lincoln's policies during this presidency and referred to his relationship, much like Lincoln's, with the African-American community. Interesting. Creepy. Here's one for the party people. Andrew Jackson. Oh, yeah. The man, the myth, the legend. Well, he survived the nastiest campaigns to date and maybe one of the nastiest in history in 1829. He beat John Quincy Adams. Then later that day after the inauguration, they had an open house party. What? Jackson's inauguration invited anyone to come hang out. That's what's so crazy. The problem was the White House wasn't prepared for the crowd, and it was big. By some accounts, they said the party was so bad, furniture was destroyed, and the mob of people had to be lured outside with punch. Others say it was riotous atmosphere and fabricated into lore of Jackson's enemies. But the truth was, he was very upset, and he finally left via the window. Well, and so help me God. That's right. The actual oath laid out in Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution is just 35 words that tomorrow President Trump will say. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do my best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. During his first inauguration in 1789, George Washington added the phrase, so help me God. How about that? Now you know, kids. Tomorrow's Inauguration Day. We'll cover it from top to bottom. We'll hear all kinds of stories. We'll hear what the president has to say. How long will its speech be? How long will it not be? It's going to be an interesting day, but we have a changing over as President Barack Obama goes to bed tonight and wakes up tomorrow for the last day he will be president. And tomorrow, Donald Trump will go to bed as president of the United States. It's a new time, a new era for the country. We wish him well. We'll talk about it tomorrow. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. For Phil, for Anthony, for my man Scotty, my name is Chad Benson. I bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.